Living a well-balanced lifestyle goes beyond ensuring your finances are in order. Welcome to Keeping the Well in Wealthy with Barbara Archer from Hightower. Barbara speaks with wellness industry leaders and related professionals to share more than financial planning advice. She addresses your questions about living a healthy lifestyle at any age. Learn how to gracefully maneuver life's challenges with support and resources to guide you along the way. Barbara and the team at Hightower help you make a plan, make an investment, and make a difference in your own wealth and well-being, and in your families, and within your community. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Well in Wealthy with Barbara Archer, sponsored by Hightower. Now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Barbara Archer, your host for Keeping the Well and Wealthy, where we discuss living a healthy lifestyle and offering support and resources to gracefully maneuver life's challenges at any age. Thank you for listening today as we discuss the nation's number one cause of disability, arthritis, joint pain, or joint disease. This disease affects nearly 60 million adults and 300,000 children. There are over 100 types of arthritis and related conditions that damage the joints and often other organs. I've invited Dr. Terry Moore to join us today and explain more about this complicated disease. Dr. Moore is a professor in the Department of Internal Medicine, Division of Rheumatology at St. Louis University School of Medicine. He serves as the Director of Adult and Pediatric Rheumatology. Dr. Moore is a Master of the American College of Rheumatology and a Fellow of the American College of Physicians and the American Academy of Pediatrics. He cares for adult and pediatric rheumatology patients, treating conditions such as lupus, juvenile arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, connective tissue diseases, febrile syndromes, and vasculitis. Dr. Moore works with all biologics and immunosuppressive medications in autoimmune diseases. Dr. Moore is interested in research into regulatory T cells in systemic lupus erythematosus, SLE, and biomarkers in juvenile arthritis, and he serves on the board of the Arthritis Foundation. Welcome, Dr. Moore. Thank you for joining us today to discuss arthritis.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you.
How did you choose to specialize in this area of rheumatology?
I was a chemistry major in undergraduate school. When I got into medical school, I wanted to do more of a scientific discipline. Rheumatology is pretty much the most scientific of all in internal medicine and pediatric subspecialties. And then I did a fellowship basically in immunology, looking at different T cells complement. And that's where my research interests were in basically immunology.
Fascinating. But let's start with this today. What is arthritis? Now, I've heard of osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, and juvenile arthritis, but I'm told there's over 100 or so types. So can you help us understand some of the most common types and how they are different from each other?
Osteoarthritis is by far the most common type. Arthritis means inflammation of the joints, but in osteoarthritis, it's more of a bony wear and tear type process. About 60 to 70% of the population will have some type of osteoarthritis. Rheumatoid arthritis, the connective tissue diseases, and juvenile arthritis are more inflammatory processes and have abnormalities in our immune system. And when our immune system goes aberrant, we may have some certain manifestations of different organ involvement. In rheumatoid and juvenile arthritis, most commonly it's joints. In lupus, scleroderma, and connective tissue disease, it may be any organ involvement.
Oh my golly. So what are some of the common symptoms that someone might have, and how is it typically diagnosed? How do you know which one of these many arthritis or inflammatory diseases we might have?
Well, the first thing is usually morning stiffness or joint swelling, depending on, and the diagnosis can, there also can be associated other systemic manifestations, but the most common thing is just joint pain, joint swelling, and morning stiffness.
Okay, morning stiffness, that's the first thing that we ought to start thinking about if we get up and we're creaking. What else might we have that would say, maybe I've got more than just stiff joints?
Well, if you see swelling in the joints, warmth, redness, that may tell you that there's more an inflammatory type response at that point in time, and therefore you may have more than just some degenerative changes. You may have an inflammatory process.
Oh my gosh. So I've read that those that have knee injuries, like an ACL tear, they can develop osteoarthritis. I think it's sometimes OA is what I've seen in the literature, within 5 to 15 years. So Dr. Moore, what are some of the other causes of arthritis and how much of a role does genetics play?
There are multiplicity of thoughts on what's the underlying causes. I write sections for all the physicians on UpToDate on viral arthritis. There's many thoughts that viruses may cause, stimulate the immune system to produce an inflammatory response. Hmm. There's definitely certain genetic markers. A marker called HLA-B27 predisposes people to ankylosing spondylitis and spondyloarthropathies. We now know that environmental changes may produce some symptoms of, especially something like scleroderma. So that there are a multiplicity of genetics, environmental, viral, that can cause it. Unfortunately, the majority of the diseases, we do not know the underlying cause. If we did know, we would probably get a Nobel Prize.
So. Oh my golly. Well, what are some of the environmental factors that we should be aware of?
Sometimes, just like you brought up, tearing a medial collateral ligament, injury to a joint may predispose to abnormal gait, and that puts more pressure on, say, the knee. There's other things like certain chemicals that may predispose us to underlying connective tissue disease.
Once this is diagnosed, what are some of the common current treatment options for arthritis and related diseases, and how do they vary by type of?
Well, it varies greatly by type. Okay.
Okay, sure.
With osteoarthritis, first thing is muscle strengthening exercises, physical therapy, and occupational therapy to try to decrease the impact loading on the joints that are involved. In an inflammatory process, you have to make a specific diagnosis. Is there patient rheumatoid factor, or what is called antibody to CCP positive? These are the polyarthritis patients that are basically rheumatoid arthritis. You start out with anti-inflammatories. Usually you go to an immunosuppressive such as methotrexate, or you may go to a biologic. Those patients with connective tissue diseases, you have to specifically determine what organ system is involved. If it's systemic lupus, is the brain involved? And is the kidneys involved in the lungs? And all the treatments are specific for those type of organ systems. So it really, you have to make a specific diagnosis so that you can set up a specific medical regimen.
You mentioned a biologic. Can you explain what a biologic is?
Well, a biologic, most times people didn't really know what a rheumatologist was until the biologic ads came on with Enbrel and Humira and all the ones for psoriatic arthritis. These are biological material that's made against certain what are called interleukins or cytokines, which in the joint causes inflammation. And these biologics will block certain cytokines, such as Enbrel, Humira, which are the most common, block tumor necrosis factor and sometimes IL-1. Others are aimed at other different inflammatory markers.
Oh, thank you for that. So what are some of the daily challenges people with arthritis face, and how can they manage those effectively?
The most common thing is, as we've already discussed, is morning stiffness. When they get up in the morning, their stiffness in their hands, their knees, their back, depending on which organ system joint is involved. We have pretty much everybody getting on some physical therapy, muscle strengthening exercises to decrease impact and strengthen the muscles so there's no great impact on the joints. We want them to take their medicine in the morning usually and see if, and once they take their medicine, it's depending on the response, that may help them greatly.
Is spinal stenosis a form of an arthritis or inflammatory disease?
It's mostly a form of osteoarthritis, wear and tear on the back, and therefore, basically, you get nerve root encroachment or impingement upon the nerve with the osteophytes in the spine.
Knowing it can affect all these different joints and different parts of our bodies, how do diet and lifestyle affect arthritis symptoms? And can you make any dietary changes or exercises, or can you reduce inflammation through diet?
It's a question of whether you can reduce inflammation, but we always recommend a diet high in antioxidants and low in saturated fats. We also want patients to try to get their weight as close to normal as possible, because any extra weight puts more impact loading on those specific joints. And also exercise, continuing to produce muscle strengthening exercises or exercise so that you improve the muscle tone. Therefore, you're helping the body adjust to the impact of the inflammation.
So just because we might be stiff or a little sore, we shouldn't stop moving. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Daily to exercise 3 to 4 times a week are ideal. Not only does it help with arthritis, it helps with your cardiovascular system, et cetera, blood pressure, et cetera.
So are there any exercises that someone with joint pain should avoid?
That's kind of individual. We will have them go to a physical therapy and occupational therapy, and they will outline certain exercises. And then the patient themselves has to follow that regimen. And then if they notice that one exercise per se over another, maybe the next day they're much more sore or tender from that exercise, then we try to back off on that. So we have to basically have to individualize that type of program.
What strategies can people use to manage chronic pain associated with arthritis? I mean, you hear about people just popping pain pills. We don't want that to happen. So what else can they do?
We work very hard to keep people off of any kind of narcotics.
Good.
Because
good to hear.
We actually, in our division, none of our faculty or any of our fellows, we will not prescribe any kind of narcotics for any type of arthritis. Long-term wise, you have to work with a medical regimen, anti-inflammatory medications, immunosuppressives if they have rheumatoid arthritis or juvenile arthritis, biologics if they have those or connective tissue disease, working with physical therapy modalities, diet, weight loss, et cetera.
So it's really a plan. It has to be a customized plan for each individual patient.
Yes. Yeah. Each individual patient. That's why we basically start over with any patient we are referred to, even if they've been seeing other rheumatologists or other orthopedists, because we want to set down their program and individualize it. And that's the only way you can really characterize each individual patient's long-term goals.
Thank you for that. How does living with arthritis affect mental health, and what support might be available? Because pain can make people cranky.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, living with pain causes depression in many cases, can have a mental effect. Many young kids I see with 12 to 18 with lupus or juvenile arthritis, you know, they're wanting to know what's going to be their life-term goals. We work with the Arthritis Foundation. Social workers provide, the Arthritis Foundation can provide areas where they can go and seek different help for different modalities. We usually have a social worker if involved. And we, again, we have them all go to physical and occupational therapy. So we try to provide them with the information so that it can help each individual's problems.
I'm hearing the Arthritis Foundation might be a good first place to go for resources or look for community support groups.
Yes, yes. It's been around for many, many years, and it has the resources, pamphlets available for almost any type of individual question that any individual would have.
Excuse the interruption. I know you're listening to Hightower's Keeping the Well and Wealthy podcast, but if you have questions related to these or other wellness and financial issues, please reach out to your advisor or go to hightoweradvisors.com to find a financial advisor near you. Now, back to Barbara.
How can patients navigate the healthcare system to ensure that they receive comprehensive arthritis care? Because I'm hearing occupational therapists, physical therapists, the rheumatologists, maybe a mental health professional. So is there any way that that can be coordinated?
That's very difficult in many aspects, because many times the insurances try to block some of the medications that we want to use in our patients. Each individual drug company usually has a patient assistance program if they can't afford the different medications. Again, going to the Arthritis Foundation, the Lupus Foundation, they have people that they can refer you to help you navigate things. Many times we have to pre-authorize different medications, and our nurses and us will work on that type of program. And, you know, we try to answer the patient's questions as best as we can.
It can be a complicated maze for them to maneuver, can't it?
Yes, yes.
Are there ways to prevent arthritis or to lessen its severity? We've talked a little bit about exercise. Anything else we can do? I mean, be careful about not getting hurt, I guess.
Right,
I'm sitting
yeah.
here with a knee brace on, yeah, Dr. Moore.
Yeah, no. So. Injuries predispose to early osteo or degenerative arthritis. Overweight. Again, weight increase. We have a paper coming out showing that weight also increases inflammatory markers. And so we know that trying to get ideal weight is a very good thing. And again, muscle strengthening exercises, watching your diet and everything, pretty much all those same modalities that we've already discussed.
Okay. And are there any alternative or complementary therapies that can help with arthritis symptoms?
Well, there are a lot of things out in public, such as cannabis, et cetera, that may, none of them have shown in studies through the NIH or the FDA as recommendations at this point in time. There are certain individuals may respond to certain different homeopathic type medications, but ideally it's best to stay with your rheumatologist and follow the plan and the regimen that what they outline.
Well, I agree. Listen to your doctor. But how can individuals advocate either for themselves or increase awareness about arthritis, especially working with their family, so that their families have the patience and understand as well, maybe some limitations currently and maybe into the future?
Well, there are two things that we do for that. Again, referring them to the Arthritis Foundation for information. What we usually do is have pretty much husband, wife, or child, parents come in, and when we make an original diagnosis and go over everything, try to explain to them long-term ramifications and things where we do, and trying to answer questions for the whole family so that they understand. I take care of what are called febrile syndromes, and there are a multiplicity of genetic abnormalities in these patients, and we have the whole families come in and go over information.
Can you tell me a little bit more about febrile syndrome?
Febrile syndromes are genetically, there are certain abnormalities on the first chromosome, the sixth chromosome, the 13th chromosome that predispose these patients to early on to fever, to rash, many times arthralgias. That's why rheumatologists ended up looking at these. I've been on the NIH study sections for developing, and we've developed medications, biologics that are IL-1 inhibitors, such as canakinumab or rilonacept, which help these patients resolve some of the genetic problems.
Well, we appreciate your work in that area. And since you are involved oftentimes in research, can you discuss any recent advancements in arthritis research or what future treatments might be on the horizon? What can you
Well,
share with us?
we're continuing to look at inflammatory mediators within the cell. We have the new patients, everybody hears about Rinvoq or Xeljanz on the advertisements. These are what are called JAK inhibitors. We look at inhibiting different IL-1 tumor Imbrel, Humira usually inhibit IL-1. We now have medications that inhibit IL-17 and IL-21. And they're looking at inhibitors of what is called IL-18 in juvenile arthritis. Different groups are still looking at different ways to inhibit certain cytokine inflammatory mediators. We're trying to develop assays that will give us more specificity of which patients have different inflammatory mediators elevated, and then we can maybe make a more specific inhibitor for that type of process.
So the inhibitors that you've just referenced, those would help reduce some inflammation,
Yes.
maybe reduce some of the pain that a patient is experiencing.
Yeah, they aim because, again, the inflammatory mediators in the cell produce certain other inflammatory mediators which increase the inflammation and the swelling in the joints.
That was pretty deep. So I'm going to ask you one other question about misconceptions. What are some of the things that the public, maybe your patients, your initial patients come in and they have in their heads certain ideas about any of the diseases we've discussed today, from osteoarthritis to rheumatoid arthritis to juvenile arthritis? What are some of those misconceptions that us as lay people are harboring that you can help blast out of reality?
We try to look at different family members, think that one has rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis. We try to make sure that there's genetic involvement in those patients, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have an arthritis or a rheumatoid arthritis if your parents have it. I take care of about 1,200 children with juvenile arthritis, and only two have any parents with arthritis. So
Oh my.
there are genetic markers, but and there is some predisposition in certain families, but the genetics are much more with lupus and connective tissue disease. Osteoarthritis is maybe sometimes lifestyle. And, if families have certain aspects of certain lifestyle, and we need to change so that they don't predispose some of the younger patients in the family.
But is osteoarthritis, that is the most common one. What are the genetic percentages somewhere in there for someone? Like if my grandmother had it and then my mother, how far am I doomed on this?
we don't have any specific what are called histocompatibility antigens that go along with osteoarthritis. But we do know that a grandmother has osteoarthritis in the hands, Heberden's or the distal interphalangeal joints, the proximal interphalangeal joints.
What does that mean?
The distal joints of the hands, what are called distal interphalangeal joints.
Then is that where I would call the big, ugly, gnarly knuckles?
Yeah. Okay. And so those nodes, many times they are evidence that probably especially on the female side of the family, there will be predisposition to those. Many times they're painful. Sometimes they're not very aesthetic, but long-term wise, they're not an inflammatory process. They're just a wear and tear process. In regard to rheumatoid arthritis and juvenile arthritis, again, there is increases in certain families, especially if they have certain biomarkers in their family, which we've looked at in many patients. But again, it has to be individualized.
You and I had a short discussion about even with osteoarthritis and those kind of unattractive knuckles that can be produced. You mentioned something about strengthening the backs of the hands, because I mentioned I was re-engaging in piano lessons.
Yes.
So are there other muscles that can help reduce the pain and increase the usage of those fingers?
Yeah, well, basically, just what you referred to is strengthening the back of the hand muscles so that decreases the impact on the distal joints, a squeeze ball, making sure that your muscle tone is good in the hands, activity of the hands, even though activity sometimes the next day may hurt more, but that again helps strengthen those muscles so that it decreases the impact on those distal joints.
So those of us sitting in front of a computer, wouldn't hurt to have a squeeze ball sitting here every now and then, just squeezing that. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely.
This has been very fascinating. I've learned so much. You have just an enormous amount of knowledge. And my quick summary that I'm hearing is arthritis is not just one disease. There are over 100 types. Inflammation plays a key role in most types of arthritis. And when you do have joint pain, get an accurate diagnosis. And it's interesting how you said each patient has their own particular plan. So post-traumatic injuries or physically demanding jobs and lifestyle factors, including excess weight, which you mentioned, are associated with osteoarthritis. And I think importantly, don't let discomfort stop you. We need to keep moving. So Terry, my last question for you is this. How do you keep your well and wealthy?
I exercise daily. I've been doing that for many years. I lift weights 4 times a week, and I average usually about 35 miles a week. It helps strengthen your muscles and decreases the impact loading on my joints, and try to eat a healthy diet with low in saturated fats and high in antioxidants. I try to find my own recommendations.
We hear stories sometimes about running. You're doing 35 miles per week, and you've done this for many years, and that hasn't impacted your joints?
No. There's a study at the University of California, San Diego. Pigs have joints more similar to humans than any animal, and the jogging pigs do not get arthritis, and the sedentary pigs get arthritis. So we know that if you do have a previous injury or an abnormal gait, even if you exercise, you may predispose yourself to arthritis. But if your gait is normal, you don't have any injuries, you keep your muscle toned, that decreases those impact, and that's impact loading on those joints, and your muscles stay fine.
Thank you for sharing that. Okay. I'm visualizing little jogging pigs here in my brain.
Yeah.
So this has been great. Dr. Terry Moore, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you today. And I will share your contact information and arthritis.org. And they also have a podcast called Live Yes with Arthritis. And their helpline is 1-800-283-7800. You can look for all of this in our podcast notes. And for our followers, I'd like to thank you for tuning in and listening to Keeping the Well and Wealthy with me as your host, Barbara Archer. If you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, please click the Subscribe Now button below. This way, when I come out with a new podcast, it will show up directly on your listening device. We humbly ask you to share this podcast, rate it, and leave a review, as this actually helps others find the show. Again, thanks for listening today. From everyone at Hightower, this is Barbara Archer. And I do want to remind you of one last thing, and that is to go out in the world and make a difference. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Keeping the Well in Wealthy with Barbara Archer, sponsored by Hightower. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Hightower Wealth Advisors. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.
Hightower Wealth Advisors is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Some investment professionals may also be registered with Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analysis, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Hightower Wealth Advisors and Hightower Advisors LLC or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information or for statements or errors or omissions or results obtained from the use of this information. Hightower Wealth Advisors and Hightower Advisors LLC assume no liability for any action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced in the document. Such data and other information are subject to change without notice. This document was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors LLC or any of its affiliates. Hightower Advisors LLC or any of its affiliates do not provide tax or legal advice. This material is not intended or written to provide and should not be relied upon or used as a substitute for tax or legal advice. Information contained herein does not consider an individual's or entity's specific circumstances or applicable governing law, which may vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction and be subject to change. Clients are urged to consult their tax or legal advisor for related questions.